From Radio Havana, Cuba, Dateline Washington, the New York Times reports that the Pentagon is quietly preparing for a potential war with North Korea, with the U.S. military launching a series of war games and exercises from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, to the skies above Nevada, to a planned deployment of even more special operations troops to the Korean Peninsula during the Winter Olympics in South Korea next month. Planning for a potential nuclear war comes as U.S. President Donald Trump has repeatedly threatened to launch a nuclear strike against North Korea. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal is reporting the Pentagon is also planning to develop two new sea-based nuclear weapons. The report is based on a new Defense Department nuclear strategy review, which says the proposed new nuclear weapons would be to counter Russia and China. Last week, The Guardian reported the Trump administration is planning to loosen the restrictions on the use of nuclear weapons and develop a nuclear warhead for U.S. Trident missiles. This all comes as Trump proposed building up the United States nuclear arsenal and has reportedly asked about nuclear weapons, quote, if we have them, why can't we use them, end quote. From the South China Morning Post, this U.S. military is conducting very serious training for a possible conflict with North Korea. A top Republican lawmaker confirmed on Tuesday, though he said he hoped such preparations would never be put to use. Congressman Mac Thornberry, who chairs the powerful House Armed Services Committee that provides civilian oversight to the Pentagon, said the administration of President Donald Trump is closely studying its options, including armed conflict. The administration is very seriously looking at what would be involved with military options when it comes to North Korea. That's a quote of Thornberry speaking to a group of reporters. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, of course, is I'm quite concerned about it. I'm interested to know what your reaction is and whether you plan to protest in any way, whether you plan to contact any of your representatives or hit the streets or do anything about what appears to be an upcoming war. These reports, as I was saying, come from The Guardian, The Wall Street Journal, New York Times, South China Morning Post. The information is all over the web. And I'd like to know what you plan to do about it. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Are you okay with this war? Do you think it's a good thing to do? What's your reaction? What's your plan? Continuing with South China Morning Post, the administration is very seriously looking at what would be involved with military options when it comes to North Korea, Thornberry said. Training efforts are very serious, he added. The military, he said, has preparations underway and hopefully they will not be needed, end quote. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has repeatedly insisted that efforts to resolve the North Korea crisis should be diplomatically led, though he has said the Pentagon always plans for any contingency. Tensions on the Korean Peninsula and between Pyongyang and Washington have been sky-high for months after North Korea leader Kim Jong-un repeatedly test-fired missiles potentially capable of carrying a nuclear warhead and hitting the United States. He also authorized the detonation of North Korea's most powerful nuclear device to date. Yada, yada. The Intercept reports in an article by Kate Aronoff that the disaster capitalism is continuing full force in Puerto Rico. This is a paraphrase. Several months after two hurricanes hit last year, frustrated by lack of progress, armed FEMA employees entered a large power company warehouse there in Puerto Rico and found thousands of essential needed supplies being hoarded away from power repair crews who had been complaining about their lack of parts. FEMA needed an armed contingent just to enter the warehouse, which they began to search thoroughly. Meanwhile, the situation on the island has become so severe, the local municipalities have been arranging their own power restoration, raising funds, and directly repairing the power lines. The deliberate denial of disaster restoration needs is a clear echo of the post-Katrina race aggression disaster, as the American Enterprise Institute is suggesting worsening conditions even more by reducing the minimum wage in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is under attack by rabid capitalists who have taken advantage of the fact that they've been knocked down by two hurricanes. In related news, the influenza outbreak in the U.S. is being worsened by a lack of IV bags, as the manufacturing facility that makes many of the bags is in Puerto Rico and has not caught up production after a lengthy power disruption. The Atlantic reports, quote, hospitals are dealing with more flu patients at the same time that they're running out of intravenous bags, basic medical equipment manufactured in Puerto Rico. The blackout after Hurricane Maria massively disrupted manufacturing on the island. The plants making IV bags have reconnected to the power grid, but hospitals are still not getting a reliable supply. Again, the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Normally, a hospital can go through hundreds of IV bags a day, they write, to replenish fluids for patients and give drugs like antibiotics and painkillers. Some have resorted to directly injecting drugs into the vein via a procedure called IV push. The Atlantic quoted Deborah Pasco, director of Medication Safety and Quality at American Society of Health System Pharmacists, saying, quote, "If we can't support patients coming in emergency rooms who have the flu, more people are going to die," end quote. And 20 kids have died in the flu outbreak so far. That's just the children that have been reported directly to the Centers for Disease Control, which has not given an update in months. Their updates do not necessarily include people who have died of pneumonia following inflammation of the chest after the flu. The flu variety circulating this year is H3N2, which is more severe. Again, quoting the Atlantic article, according to the numbers, this year's flu season is in fact worse than usual. It got started early, and it's been more severe. 20 kids have died of the flu since October, and in the week ending January 6, 22.7 out of every 100,000 hospitalizations in the U.S. were for flu, twice the number of the previous week. Quoting the Texas Tribune, big city hospitals in Texas have been overwhelmed this week by an influx of flu patients, and state health officials say that influenza activity is widespread across that state. At Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas, waiting rooms turned into exam areas, as a medical tent was built in order to deal with the surge of patients. A Houston doctor said that local hospital beds were at capacity, telling flu sufferers they might be better off staying at home. Austin, Texas, emergency rooms have seen an influx of flu patients, end quote. And they quote Dan Jernigan, director of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Influenza Branch, said, last Friday, flu is everywhere in the U.S. right now. This is the first year we've had the entire continental U.S. be the same color, referring to a map of state-by-state estimate of flu activity. That color is brown, meaning the flu is widespread everywhere in the U.S. except for Hawaii and District of Columbia. Pardon me, I believe that was also from the Atlantic article. Now, speaking for myself, flu deaths take three principal forms. Overwhelming a body that is weak due to illness or advanced age. Secondly, death due to subsequent and sometimes untreated pneumonia infection. And thirdly, more rarely, the cytokine storm immune response in a very healthy person whose immune system overreacts. Pneumonia can be treated with antibiotics, and you need to be aware when you've had the flu, you've had inflammation, and it seems to come back, it might not be the flu, it might be pneumonia, and you might need antibiotics. In a pinch, it is good to remember, in the case of excessive immune reaction, the cytokine storm, that alcohol dampens the immune response. And of course, that is more easily to hand than in an emergency room. Although I don't want to discourage anyone from going to an ER if they need to. Hospitals across the nation are filling up with influenza patients. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I've been talking about the impending war with North Korea and asking what you plan to do about it. 503-231-8187. Now I'd like to discuss an article by Kevin Zeese and Margaret Flowers and truthdig.com. And they say the United States cannot be a moral or ethical country until it faces up to the realities of U.S. empire and the destruction it causes around the world. The U.S. undermines governments, including democracies, kills millions of people, causes mass migrations of people fleeing their homes, communities, and countries, and produces vast environmental damage. Before I continue on that, we'll talk about karma for a minute. I remember Michael Pareny saying we should hope that there's no such thing as national karma. And I've thought about that comment for many years now, maybe a couple of decades. And I've decided there must be, because it's the fact that we Americans so commonly succumb to and obey our corporate dictates that we've become what we are in large part. I would say that's a secondary effect of the national disease that is Americanism at this point. The first effect is the genocide, the ongoing genocide of Native Americans, of people stolen from Africa, of anyone and everyone who does not match the false status of whiteness It is that violence which echoes back and forth in this society and makes this a society with many deaths from various forms, because we have been trained not to care about each other, and we have various excuses for doing that. We have been trained to blame people who are poor for being poor. We have the habit, speaking very generally, of looking at our own grandmas in the streets, living in a tent on the sidewalk, and saying that she must have made bad choices. This is vicious, clearly, and it's very transparent to anyone who is not an American who sees that sort of thing, but we have become used to it. And we also, I would argue that to the fact we have 30 or 40,000 people a year dying on the highways and streets from our consumerized system of transportation relates to this consumer alienation and genocidalist self-hatred. When I say self-hatred, I mean a communal self-hatred. It's part. We accept this as if it were normal and natural. And really, that's just the tip of the iceberg, the deaths. We are a nation that is mangled by auto accidents. It's a very violent way of getting around. For commuting, it is a stupid way to get around. But we are used to it. We think that it's normal and natural. Likewise, I can say that applies to U.S. imperialism. We worship the military. I go into a place, a Class B corporation like, News Seasons. Go into a New Seasons and you can see a little tag next to the, a little sign by the register saying that one day a week, I can't remember which day it is, you get 10% off for being in the military. And every time I see that, I think, really? Even this place worships the military? And this society surely does. If you look at what the topics of our movies and television shows and books are about, we worship the military. And we just can't seem to stop, and I'm calling for an end to it. I'm also calling for an end to preparations for this pointless and potentially extremely bloody war with North Korea. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and I'll go to the first caller. I think that's Reese. Harry is on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you for taking my call. As for North Korea, I think it's just saber-rattling. North Korea borders not only China, but Russia. And I'm surprised that China or Russia, during the Security Council, when they're doing sanctions, just says no, you know. And the last time...
On the contrary, China and Russia have agreed to some sanctions.
Yeah. But, I mean, whenever... I mean, they have to say yet or no sometimes. Every time they come up with more sanctions or against them or Persia, I mean, or against Iran or something, how come... they just don't say no, and that puts the end of it, you know. Next is what's the solution to it? Well, what I was upset about Obama was when, during a cultural exchange, Dennis Rodman went to North Korea, and the president of North Korea gave him a letter to give to Obama, and Obama says, I'm not accepting it. So, I mean... really? I mean, that's what you pay him the big bucks to do that. So that's what I was upset with Obama about.
Well, I think it brings up the fact that Obama's administration continued to ramp up the aggression against North Korea, including those war games that have got them in such a frenzy. And, of course, the frenzy takes place in the context of their trauma in becoming a mole people in order to what few of them survived after the gigantic bombing campaign that U.S. perpetrated on them in the 50s. So Obama
is
not...
That's why Russia intervened and brought MiGs and shot down those bombers. So, but there's another solution is we can always offer North Korea, hey, turn your missile program into a space program. And shoot a missile up to a space station and join us.
I don't think that there'll be much progress made against North Korea at all until the massive multi-billion-dollar war games stop.
And why don't the Russians and the Chinese, okay, right behind them, put their fleets? So if they attack North Korea, well, I mean, the last time we attacked North Korea, China got involved and Russia got involved. So if they put their fleets right behind them, then they have to really worry about gee, should we attack them? Because we'll be destroyed. Because when who's going to hit us from behind?
China has set limits, and Trump recently has been threatening to abrogate those limits by enforcing the maritime sanctions to the point of naval embargo. So that's the point of the provocation of the conflict at this point. And I also want to comment that China has been forced to arm itself to bring troops to its southern border with North Korea. And I have another caller, and so I'll go to that. But thank you very much for calling in, Harry.
Okay.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. The sentence that I'm trying to operate with here is that the United States cannot be a moral or ethical country until it faces up to the realities of U.S. empire and the destruction it causes around the world. I'll go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, is this,
this is Teresa.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Hi.
Hi, Will.
I just tuned in about 2 minutes ago, and I just caught, the main, what you're talking about, how U.S. transportation and the way we do things here is what I was listening to more than the war topic on war.
That's fine. You can comment on that if you want.
Well, I just think that you were talking about how it's such a, the way we get around and how much accidents it causes and how inefficient it is. In a lot of parts of the U.S., how people are driving everywhere, and I was going to say I couldn't agree more. And I think that I've been to other countries, and I see how people interact there and how they in a lot of parts, it's very different than how we do things here and how we travel and how we interact with each other here.
It's part of how our minds have been colonized by corporate America. Literally by GM and Firestone and the other defendants in the famous lawsuit against the destruction of the trolley lines that occurred in the early 20th century. But we have gotten used to having suburbs as if that were normal. And the suburbs were invented and created for the automobile industry.
Right. So it seems to me there's a very disconnect between any kind of actual social coherency in our the way people interact with each other. It's very standoffish. People are very, and they take to social media to try and fill that emptiness, but that doesn't really bring people together because it's just their minds interacting. There's actually no like warmth or real companionship that happens through all this technology that we use as a crutch or as a replacement for actual interaction with each other. And that's why we're also, you know, people are so lonely in American culture because we don't actually interact with each other in a way that's
heartwarming. When we do interact, often as not, it's with a fundamentalist church, or at least that's true in large parts of the central and southern United States. And, you know, churches have that to offer. Churches have face-to-face meetings to offer. I've talked to people from other countries who tell me of habitual other interactions, other ways to interact. For example, having a singing society or a dancing society. I talked to someone from Malmö, Sweden, who was part of a madrigal society, and he knew madrigal so well that he joined in a group that I was singing with. But here in the U.S., I think you're right, we either have Facebook or some crazed church, and that's about it.
It's a crutch. It's like a it's what people use to, I mean, it isn't all bad because I've met friends, good friends off social media, but I've also see that there's a lot of waste of, and just childish, teenagerish type of behavior that really is pointless.
I guess that's another point, is that consumerization leads to infantilization. It's all quite profitable. I'm going to go to some more content here and then to some more callers, and thank you very much for calling in.
All right, thanks.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. A new coalition, Zeiss and Flowers, right? A new coalition, the Coalition Against U.S. Foreign Military Bases, held its inaugural event January 12th through 14th, 2018, at the University of Baltimore in Maryland. The meeting was framed by a unity statement that brought together numerous peace and justice organizations. The basis for unity was U.S. foreign military bases are the principal instruments of imperial global domination and environmental damage through wars of aggression and occupation. And the closure of U.S. foreign military bases is one of the first necessary steps towards a just, peaceful, and sustainable world. And speaking for myself, I quite agree with that statement. I was talking about consumer society and how we've all been alienated. The other thing that I didn't mention about the way that we live our lives is just how polluting it is and how much it contributes to the global warming disaster. It contributes to the hurricanes that struck Houston and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, etc. It is our consumerism also that, and our worship of the military that makes this upcoming war a tasty consumerist event for those who profit directly from the supply of arms and the logistical supply of the troops, etc. To those who profit from glorifying war in books and video media, this is what we have become. And I want to bring the word Mordlust out. This is a German word, but I think it applies very well to 2018 United States. We have Mordlust. We have a lust. We have a desire for war. We have a desire for death, Mordlust. And this is being exacerbated now. And I think the fact that we do not have massive demonstrations against the military bases around the world, the wars that we project in Syria and Iraq, potentially Iran, North Korea, part of the reason for that is the fact that we actually have been trained to enjoy it. And this is part of our consumer alienation. This is a replacement, like a flashy new car. It's a replacement for what you don't have, which is the honest regard of your fellow citizen. You don't have the satisfaction of being an active connected person. You don't have the satisfaction of being a real person within community. And so instead you are offered these toys, these goodies. And part of that is the flash and bang of war and the angry and satisfying feeling that you are part of a group that has gotten it over on someone else. So North Korea is being offered up to us now as a country that deserves destruction, a country that is foul, that is denigrating of its own citizenry, a country where people are poor and desperate, a country where people are pushed around, and all of this is true of the United States. So we're encouraged to look away, look at North Korea and say, look at them, they deserve to die. This is the Mordlust that is being built up in our hearts. This is sick and evil, and I'm asking you to resist it. And I'll go to Dennis, who's on the air. Hi, Dennis.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm really enjoying the discussion, and can't find anything that I disagree with. I'm thinking, when you're talking about American imperialism, and we've reached a point in our modern society where we're so bifurcated in opposing views, this little, kind of compromise and meet in the middle. And when we talk about this, and the historical evidence to the fact that America has been an imperialist society, the people, more to the conservative right side, they rail about, liberal libtards or whatever, ongoing current name they have to denigrate people who often are just kind of more sanguine in their thinking. And if you look at our past history, I've been recently watching again Oliver Stone's excellent Untold History of the United States, which should be required viewing, kind of almost like Howard Zinn's book, kind of giving you facts that you didn't get when you were going to school.
Thank you for mentioning it. Howard Zinn, People's History of the United States, one of the few books ever that increases in sales every year.
Yeah, because it tells the truth. So in Oliver Stone's film, I was reminded, I was well aware of this personality, but I would just like to finish by saying this, that people should check out Smedley Darlington Butler. He won the Congressional Medal of Honor twice, one of very, very few Americans who accomplished that. He started in the Marines as a second lieutenant and arose to the rank of major general, which was the highest rank at that time. He was engaged in American military in the early part of the 20th century. He fought in World War I. And after he retired, he said that he realized that for 40 years, basically, he had been a hitman for American imperialism.
Yeah, Smedley Butler said the quiet part loud, and that kind of reminds me of Per, who's coming up at 9:30 with Fight the Empire. He's going to be talking to Ray McGovern, who says the FBI is a real hand behind Russiagate, and Per is a big fan of Smedley Butler. He can talk all about him.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote what is called a book, but it's really more of a booklet called War is a Racket, and this is accessible as a free PDF, and this is along with, like, what I suggested to Oliver Stone, The Untold History of the United States. This is, something that can be read in about 15 minutes. This is not required reading. This is someone who was on the inside, who was like, engaged in the military. And he said only after he got out of that delusion of yes, sir, you know, thinking that I'm being patriotic and serving my country, that really the military was like, he said, you know, I out-gangstered Al Capone. You know,
I'm going to, and
I operated on three continents.
I'm going to have to wrap up the show now, and I thank you very much for your comments.
Okay, well,
Smedley Butler,
Ray.
And yes, that can be found online. Well, and I want to say that this Mordlust has to do with whiteness, and whiteness is a part of it. The false status of whiteness. Police in the U.S. killed 1,129 people in 2017. Quarter of those killed were black, even though they comprise just 13% of the population. How does that work? We project our Mordlust onto people of color. We project it through the police. They develop an even more exaggerated mental disease of whiteness, and they kill people at twice. They kill black people at twice the rate of whites. And you can read about that in The Guardian in a guardian.co.uk in a series that they have called The Counted, which produced actually better counting of police deaths in the United States after that series ran. So you've been listening to Press Watch. Coming up at 9:30, Fight the Empire, as I was just saying. At 10 o'clock, it'll be Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, SW Concert speaks with Portland author Chuck Palahniuk about Legacy, his latest coloring book and novella, Hybrid. 50th anniversary of KBOO. Congratulations to all of you. Let's expand this radio station. Tell someone about KBOO. Join KBOO at kboo.fm. We keep you informed and you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm to connect. And connect and we'll collect. And you've been listening to Press Watch on 90.7 FM and other frequencies in Cascadia on KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.